Gracious Words. Gracious Words is taken from the weekly women's Bible study taught by Cheryl Broderson at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
We behold your glory, God, in the face of Christ. It shows us who you are, revealing who you are.
On today's program, we'll continue to see how deeply our Heavenly Father cares for His children. He knows the burdens we carry and the hopes we hold in our hearts. And He invites us to rest in His presence, trusting that His plans are always good.
We will come before you, Lord, in wonder, wonder. We will fall on our knees and surrender. We surrender to you.
And now here's part two of Cheryl's message titled, Your Heavenly Father Knows What You Need.
You ever just done for? You know, sometimes Brian will be like, what's for dinner? I'm like, are you kidding? I'm done for. Stick a fork in me.
Done. Well done.
You know how men are? You know, you wake up in the morning, they turn to you, they look, they smile, and they go, what's for dinner? I don't know. What are you making? Brian came to me and said, I make one thing really good. And I said, what do you make? He says, tuna casserole. I said, I hate tuna. I hate all fish. Please don't make that as long as we're living together in the same house. So he has kept his vow and never made it. The prophet was exhausted. He came to a lone broom bush and collapsed in its shade, wanting in the worst way to be done with it all. I'm quoting from the message again. To just die. Enough of this. God, take my life. I'm ready to join my ancestors in the grave. Our New King James says, I'm no better than my fathers. I think that might be a better translation. In other words, I haven't made any difference. You know, I haven't. Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed. I've given it my all, and nothing has changed. And then what did Elijah do? He fell asleep. He fell asleep. He was only awakened at the touch of an angel. And beside Elijah's head, there was angel food cake that had just been freshly baked on coals and a jug of water. The angel told Elijah, eat, eat. You know, sometimes when you're emotionally exhausted, you don't even think to eat. You know, when you're done for, sometimes you have to even be told to eat. I'm what's called a stress starver. So obviously I get stressed. And so if I'm really stressed, I don't eat. And I have to be reminded to eat because stress, in fact, when I'm happy and I'm doing really well, I eat like pints of ice cream, like last night. So I'm doing really well right now. Elijah falls asleep after he eats. And again, the angel has to awaken him. The angel tells him that he needs to arise and eat because the journey is too great for him. And so Elijah did as the angel instructed, and we read that he went on the strength of that food for 40 days and nights, all the way to Horeb, which is Mount Sinai. And Horeb is the part of Sinai that faces Israel. It's supposed to be like the east-facing side, and Sinai is supposed to be the west-facing side. If that's true, I don't know, but that's what I've been told. But what I want to stress here is that our Father understands and loves us even when we're going through the deadly deeds. It's no change. He doesn't just love us when we're happy campers and we're like, you're so good. He loves us when we're panicked, which is so good for women to know, isn't it? Because men always treat us like we're from Mars if we panic, you know? Don't be afraid. Whenever Brian says, don't be afraid, I'm more afraid. Or one of those things like when he says to me, now don't get upset with what I'm about to say to you. Is that the worst? You're like, then don't even say it. If you already know my reaction, I would just save your words, boy. Just save those words. Keep them to yourself. I will find out in God's time what I need to know. Our Father knows. Our Father knows us. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 8, your Father knows the things you have need of. Your Father knows the things you have need of. Let's do it again. Let's say it all together. Your Father knows the things you have need of. Matthew 6, 8. Right before the Lord's Prayer. You want to know why the Lord's Prayer is so simple? Because your Father knows. He already knows exactly what you need when you're disappointed, when you're discouraged, when you're depressed. He knows. He knows you so intimately. And he doesn't say, oh, you're so needy right now. Oh, you're so needy. You know, there's nothing scarier to a man than a needy woman. You know, they're like, oh, needy. Our Father in heaven is like, needy. Come. I'm here for your needs. In fact, I am what you need. I am everything you need. I have what you need, and I know what you need. And I want to supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. We tend to think of need in that scripture in Philippians chapter 4 as just our financial needs, because after all, it says his riches in glory. But did you know God's not just rich in golden pavement? God is rich in love. God is rich in mercy. God is rich in grace, and his grace is all sufficient for every need that arises. He is able, and he wants to supply our emotional needs, our physical needs, our mental needs. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and does not upbraid. James chapter 1, God wants to meet our spiritual needs, all of our needs. Our God knows and he cares. Isn't that just so wonderful? For me, that's wonderful because I don't know about you. I'm hyperactive. I get all these weird conflicting thoughts. Maybe you've got a little ADHD in you too. I think everybody does. Because sometimes we don't know if we're hungry or if we're frustrated. We don't know if we're sympathetic or dramatic. We don't know if we're angry or we're relieved. We don't know if we're happy or sad. You know, I don't know. Sometimes when I want to say yes, 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 you know what I find myself saying? No, 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 no. Like somebody, you know, do you want to marry me? No, 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 no. Right? It's like, no, yes, 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 yes. I get those two mixed up. I do. I say no when I mean yes. And I say yes when I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. You know, like, do you want a new credit card? Oh, yeah. No. Oh, you do? No. I get those two mixed up. I make a habit. I don't mean to. I just do things like this. Sometimes I don't know if I'm tired or I'm exhilarated. I don't know if I'm exhausted or if I'm wanting more ice cream. I just don't know. I don't know myself. Sometimes I have to say to the Lord, will you please explain me to me? I don't know why I reacted that way. I don't know what's going on in me. You ever have a reaction that you're like, what in the world was that? And it's you that reacted? But you're like, you don't know? I do a lot. And that's when I go on a walk with the Lord and I say, will you just explain to me what's going on in my heart and my life? Because I don't get me. I just don't get me. When I want to react with like, oh, you precious little bundle of joy, you know, I'm like, what's he doing here? I don't want that. I don't want that. God knows me. Psalm 139, he knows my down city and my uprising. He's acquainted with all my ways. He knows me. He knows why I do things the way I do. I am strange. Maybe you guys haven't figured that out now, but I am. I'll admit it. You know, I'm eccentric, but I've come to terms with it. I have this thing where when I put the water in the sink, I don't want you to put a dirty dish in my clean water. I want all the dishes that are going to go in that water rinsed off before they go in that water. Now, I've been married for 42 and a half years, and Brian does not get that yet. He takes those with all the mashed potatoes and yams and residue still on it and just sticks it in my clean water. And then he goes, oh, no, you're not going to go postal on me, are you? Because he knows I have to take those dishes out, put them in the other part of the sink, and I have to take the water out, and I have to put the fresh water in that sink again with the fresh white suds. He knows that. And yet, he tries to sneak in that dirty fork and that bowl, and then he just looks at me, smiling. God knows my ways. He'd never stick a dirty dish in that side of the sink. He knows exactly what I need, when I need it, and why I need it. He knows me. I love those commercials that we're seeing lately. I cry at all of them. He gets me. Have you seen those? Oh, there are some Christians that are criticizing it. May we never be one of those Christians. Because I watch those and I'm like, he gets me. He gets the refugee. He gets the rejected. He gets the lonely. He gets me. Frank goes, have you heard that campaign? He gets me. I'm like, I love it. I absolutely love it. God gets me. He gets you. Sometimes we're so hard on ourselves, like bad Christian, bad Christian, bad Christian. Should have reacted better. I should have done this better. I shouldn't have run at that note from Jezebel. After all, I just saw the fire of God fall. I felt the rain. I ran 16 miles just praising God and singing in the rain. I shouldn't have run. What kind of prophet am I after all? God says, you're a tired prophet. You're a prophet that's hungry. You're a prophet that needs rest. We're so hard. We beat ourselves up all the time. Your Heavenly Father does not want to beat you up. Your Heavenly Father does not want you beating yourself up. Do you hear me? Do you think he likes it when you do that? No, he does not like that. He does not want you beating yourself up, castigating yourself, saying, I should be better at this by now. No, you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to run into his arms. Your Father knows what you have need of. Your Father knows. Your expectations for yourself, like Peter, are way too high. I will never, ever, though everyone else will deny you, not me. I will die for you. Was Peter able to live up to his own self-expectations? No. Can you? No. Can we just be honest? No. Our expectations are higher for us than they should be. But let me tell you this. Your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of. He knows. He knows what you have need of. God knew that his prophet needed rest, restoration, food, water, and a divine visitation. You know, as somebody was bringing out today, the first time he was hungry, it was ravens. But this time he needed an angel. He needed an angel. He needed to know that God was with him, that God was for him. And he needed to know that there was divine protection. He was not alone. And he needed strength because God even knew Elijah's future and how long the journey ahead of him would be. God knew where Elijah was going when Elijah was just running. God had a destination in mind. God knew how Elijah was feeling, vulnerable, alone, abandoned. God knew, again, what Elijah needed physically, water, food, and rest. So many times we just need a nap, seriously. God met Elijah with everything, everything he needed for the journey. Like Elijah, the hit comes to all of us. Often after a great spiritual endeavor, I'm going to give my all to Jesus. I'm going to join this ministry. I'm going to be part of this. I'm going to do my lesson every week. I'm going to just really serve the Lord. Something terrific hits before you have time to even adjust. You might receive a threatening message of an unexpected illness or diagnosis. Maybe it's identity theft, a bill or tax audit, a threat, a lawsuit, something that makes you want to run away, something that wants that moves you to want to try to escape. You feel vulnerable. The enemy knows exactly how to get to you. You know, when God asked Satan what he was doing in the book of Job, he says, "Oh, I've been walking to and fro about the earth." And he had been looking for the vulnerability of Job, scouting out. He strategizes. No wonder Paul calls it, watch out for the wiles of the devil. He strategizes. I once read this article on spiritual warfare that I thought was like the best article. I kept it because it related spiritual warfare to fishing. That, like, you know, a fisherman throws in a lure, and then if the fish don't bite it, then he reels it back up and he tries another lure until he sees some interest. He's like, okay, this one got them. Satan strategizes, like the fisherman with the fish. Satan strategizes. He knows how to get to you. He knows what buttons to push. And he pushes the button that overwhelms you. You don't know how to handle this one. You've already expended all you have. You feel abandoned. How could God allow this to happen to you after you've tried so hard to be a good servant, to be a good prophet, to be a good Christian? You know what? The journey of life is too great for you. The journey of life is too great for any of us. Life hurts. Life is hard. I used to think life was really great till I turned 30. Sorry for those under 30. It gets hard. It just gets hard. And then 60. 60 is really hard. I have muscles I didn't know I had because they hurt. You know, I never even knew there were muscles that, well, never mind. The journey is too great for any of us, and we don't even know how to pack. We don't know what we should put in our suitcases and what we should leave out of our suitcases. You know, which is hard for us as women, right? Because we like to be ready for every occasion, right? Men carry wallets, and usually they don't even have any money in it, and their credit cards are outdated. But not us. We're women. What do we carry? We carry small suitcases that we call purses. They have everything. Sewing kits, you know, baggies in case there's extra food someplace or something leaks. At least I do. Now I have market bags, of course, that fold up. Emery boards, right? I can't believe the women that don't carry emery boards, because when I lose mine, I ask. Anyway, I carry them, and I have spare. I have like 10, so if you need one, I've got them. We're prepared, and we like to be prepared for every destination. But we can't be, because it's life. It's life. And it always asks for that one thing that's not in our purse, doesn't it? Always seems to require that one thing that we don't have. But my God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. The need is not exclusively financial. The need for all of us is spiritual, physical, mental, emotional. Our issue, like Elijah's, is that we start running instead of seeking. We sing that song, Be Still. Be still. Yet, even in our panic, God finds us and doesn't berate us, but he feeds us, gives us rest, and gives us water. He knows what we need for life's journey, and our Father is so compassionate. In closing, I want to read to you Psalm 103, and I want you to make it yours this morning. It is for each one of you this morning, this psalm for you, for each of you. I'm going to read it out loud. I want you to maybe just close your eyes, just receive it. If a word stands out to you or a phrase, write it down, claim it. Stand on it. Let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Or as the message puts, you're always young in his presence. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers our days are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of them. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything that he has created, everything in all his kingdom. Let all I am praise the Lord.
When we surrender our worries to God, we find peace that only he can give. Our Father's care is not distant or delayed. It's personal, present, and perfect in timing. He knows our needs, and he is faithful to meet them according to his love and wisdom. We hope you have been blessed by today's Bible study. For more information about the Gracious Words radio program and the teaching ministry of Cheryl Broderson, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. Coming up next time on the Gracious Words program, Cheryl begins a new message that reminds us how God continues to work through every season of our lives. We do hope you'll make plans to join us. Again, for more information, please visit our website at graciouswords.com.
We will come before you, Lord, in wonder, We will fall on our knees and surrender. We surrender to you.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.